It is Thursday, February 14th, 2013, Valentine's Day, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas. Support for KUAF comes from Walton Arts Center, presenting Hair, the musical, Friday, February 22nd, and two performances Saturday, the 23rd. This adult-themed production depicts young Americans searching for peace and love during turbulent times. Songs include Aquarius, Let the Sunshine In, and Good Morning, Starshine. Tickets and more information available on the web at waltonartcenter.org or by calling 443-5600.
Ahead on Ozarks, how tens of thousands of strangers are making this a better day for patients at Arkansas Children's Hospital.
And inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio, we'll hear the four-part harmony of Melody Lane, a barbershop quartet. They made the trip to our studio from Bella Vista yesterday.
First, during the State of the Union address Tuesday night, President Obama proposed a free trade agreement with the European Union. Senator Mark Pryor says while he hasn't had a chance to delve into the proposal, he says he hopes everything is on the table, but he especially wants any agreement to include stipulations on trade of agricultural products.
We've had a long series of trade agreements dealing with agriculture, dealing with various countries, various regions, various industries. I mean, they just kind of go on and on and on, never ending. So I certainly would hope that this would give us a chance to, start fresh. I guess that's a fair way to say it, and try to get truly free trade with Europe when it comes to agriculture.
In addition, Senator Pryor says he was pleased that the president spent the first half of his address talking about the issues of bipartisanship, deficit reduction, and jobs creation. We'll have more from Senator Pryor in a few minutes.
Senator Pryor wasn't the only member of Arkansas's congressional delegation to respond to the president's speech. Tuesday night's address was the first for newly elected Congressman Tom Cotton to hear inside the chamber. The president didn't win over the 4th District Republican with much of his legislative agenda, including tightening gun control laws, which President Obama repeated dramatically deserves a vote. Cotton said the president's plans infringe on Second Amendment rights.
I still believe it just won't work, and it's been shown not to work in the past. And I'd rather find solutions to the problems of mass murders rather than moral posturing. But frankly, the people who are blocking a vote on the president's gun control agenda are Democrats in the Senate. And if they would take a position on his measures, we would have an up or down vote.
Representative Cotton says something else that doesn't work, and therefore he won't support, is a current plan for comprehensive immigration reform. He prefers streamlining legal immigration and beefing up enforcement both at the border and at the workplace.
President Obama's pick to lead the Defense Department faces more opposition on Capitol Hill now that Republican lawmakers, including an Arkansas senator, have threatened to filibuster the nominee. Senator John Bozeman says former Nebraska Senator Chuck Hagel, a decorated Vietnam veteran, does not have a history of working well with others. Senator Bozeman says that Hagel does not have the skills necessary to help modernize the military. The Senate Armed Services Committee approved Hagel's nomination this week, but none of the Republicans on the committee voted for him.
Fort Smith City and Sebastian County officials are planning their next step for a regional aquatic center, following much public dissatisfaction over revised plans for the water park. Earlier this week, officials with both governmental entities presented to the public those revisions. Those revisions include the removal of features such as an extended lazy river and a deep diving pool. The revisions were made in an effort to keep the project within the bounds of its $8 million budget. But with the public's vocal input, city and county leaders are looking at ways to retain the original design presented to voters prior to the election for bonds to fund the project. But Fort Smith City Administrator Ray Gossick says the issue may not have to go back to voters to retain all of the park's features.
There is another means to increase the budget. Sebastian County identified that it had some additional capital funds available that could be put into the Aquatic Center project up front. And so there was some interest on the part of the county officials to do that. And then the city would absorb more of the operating cost to balance the county's additional capital contributions.
Ray Gossick says the next step in bringing the project from paper to reality is for the Sebastian County Quorum Court to approve an appropriation ordinance that would authorize the additional capital contributions to the project, at which point the project will be redesigned again to incorporate the features requested by the public. If the Quorum Court doesn't approve the appropriation, Gossick says that the project will have to move forward with the recommended design in order to stay within the bounds of the project's budget.
Yesterday morning, University of Arkansas Chancellor G. David Gearhart announced Chris Wyrick would be the next Vice Chancellor for University Advancement. He'll take over the Advancement Division as the university prepares to begin its next major fundraising campaign, tentatively called Campaign Arkansas. Chris Wyrick is currently the Executive Director of the Razorback Foundation, and a starting date for his new job will be set once Foundation board members and staff develop a transition plan to fill his vacancy.
The past few days have felt like spring, and as the weather gets warmer, flowers will start poking up from the ground around Fayetteville. But which flowers can residents expect to bloom first? City horticulturist Roxanne Worthy says that it all depends on the weather.
The first thing that they'll see are, we have a number of beds that have daffodils in them, and so that would be the first flowers that you would see. And then the beds have perennials in them, which are plants that come back every year, and as it warms up, those will start doing what they're supposed to do in terms of showing their color. And then a lot of times we supplement those beds with annuals and tropicals, and that'll add more color also.
In addition, Worthy says that about 2,000 tulips and other types of spring bulbs. She says because the weather has been warmer than normal, spring bulbs could begin blooming this month, though they could bloom as late as April.
Mostly cloudy, but gradually clearing off tonight. Lows will be in the upper 20s in northwest Arkansas, mid-30s in the Arkansas River Valley. Sunshine tomorrow. Highs will be in the lower 40s in northwest Arkansas to 49 in the Arkansas River Valley. And tomorrow night, chance of flurries with mostly cloudy skies. Lows tomorrow night, 22 in northwest Arkansas, upper 20s for the Arkansas River Valley. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone from Washington, D.C. is U.S. Senator Mark Pryor. Senator, how are you on this February 14th?
I'm doing fine. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody.
That's right. I want to ask you about something I think you are actually introducing today, which is an extension of a drought act, correct?
It is. There's a, I would call it an early warning system that's been on the books for a while, and it's kind of a joint venture basically with NOAA and a few others. But what they do is they kind of monitor various weather conditions and water levels and all that, and they start to model and tell basically farmers and other people who are interested, maybe rural water districts or who knows what, could be, you know, boat dock operators, whatever. But it's available to them, and then they basically give them the lay of the land on what the drought conditions looks like. And it's important because we've had a lot of droughts in the country recently, and in this difficult economy, you need every edge you can get, and it's a service that's already being provided. It doesn't cost very much money at all, and I just want to make sure we continue it.
Earlier this week, you voted for the Violence Against Women Act. It did pass the Senate, moves on to the House, but there is some speculation that it will have trouble in the House. I know that's the other chamber, but your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, this is a little frustrating to me because I didn't know anything about the Violence Against Women Act until I became Attorney General. It was a law that I had no familiarity with, but when I saw how it worked, when I saw how law enforcement used it, and when I saw how effective it is, and it's been very effective in saving lives and preventing domestic violence and being able to get people out of situations that are bad. So it's been very effective, and law enforcement loves it. Prosecutors love it. It's been a win-win, really, for everybody, for children and everybody else. And so, you know, I've been a big supporter of it. And we passed this last year. The Senate passed it. We worked on it. Very common-sense legislation. In fact, this is one of those pieces of legislation that actually saves the taxpayers money. By the time you add it all up and you look at it dynamically, it actually saves people money. But for some reason, last year, the House wouldn't take it up. And I don't know the whole rationale there. I certainly hope that they will take it up. I think it's very important. It's good for the country. And so we just passed it again this week, and you know, hopefully the House will take it up this year at some point and get it passed.
We have, I think it is, 8 scheduled legislative days between now and when sequestration would take effect on March 1st. Any optimism on your part that sequestration will be avoided?
You know, I want to be hopeful. I want to be optimistic. But there's some very negative signs out there about sequestration. You know, this is not the best way to govern. Now, I tell you one thing that concerns me is now the blame game is starting. I've noticed that the Speaker of the House and others are now starting to blame President Obama for this, and that's a bad sign. And the President's going to blame the other side, and that's a bad sign. That's not helping anybody. It's not going to be good. So I would hope that we could avoid this and not have to go through, you know, this type of process. It just doesn't make any sense. But I'm afraid that's where we are.
And now everyone is kind of guessing what those long-term effects, depending on how long it lasts, could be.
Yeah, and this is something that, you know, I'm not part of the cut crowd up here in Washington. I think we need to cut our spending, but I think we need to do it the right way, and we need to do it smartly and have a little wisdom when we do it. Sequestration is an across-the-board cut. So if a program is working great, you know, it'll get a cut. And if a program's not working at all, it'll get a cut. And it's the same cut. It's not the way to govern. It's not the way we should do it. But it is where we are today. And we're actually in the Appropriations Committee are having a hearing about it right now. I just stepped out of the room to listen to several of the secretaries that want to speak about it. We want to hear what kind of impact it will have on their agency. And here's the thing. A lot of times people think about this as government only, but some of this can really hurt the U.S. economy. It hurt Arkansas's economy. So, for example, one of the cuts that they're going to have to deal with is something that we all take for granted, and that is meat inspectors. So when you have a company like Tyson and they're chasing chickens or whatever it happens to be, they have to have a meat inspector there to be in business. Well, if you can't fund the meat inspectors, you're going to have to close that plant. You're going to have to close it for a day a week or, you know, 3 days a month or, you know, whatever it's going to be. I don't know exactly what the cuts would be. But that's the kind of stuff that we take for granted. This is going to hurt the U.S. economy. And, again, this is not the way to do it. We need to get a resolution here. It needs to be bipartisan. And I'm concerned that the blame game is already starting and, you know, they're pointing fingers at each other, and that usually means gridlock.
Finally, I'll ask one more question. According to Telecommunications Law Resource Center, you are next in line to take the gavel of the Senate Commerce, Communications, Technology, and Internet Subcommittee.
That is true. I am. They announced that yesterday officially. I'm very excited about it. I'm on the Commerce Committee, and there's the nickname is the Telecommunications Subcommittee, but it's communications generally, so it's like phone, cable, internet, you know, all the telecom stuff, the wireless, all that kind of stuff comes through that subcommittee. So I'm excited. It's a good way to do policy. I think one of the first things we'll probably do is look at satellite TV. There's an old law that's on the books that needs to be reauthorized. And, of course, the world has changed a lot in the last 15, 20 years when it comes to satellite television and all that kind of jazz. So, you know, it's a way for us to try to make sure people get the broadcast they need, and it's a way for us to really work on rural broadband and all these kind of issues that are important to Arkansans.
Senator Mark Pryor, as always, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
The Oscar-nominated Zero Dark Thirty opens with a declaration that the story is based on firsthand accounts of actual events. But Senators Dianne Feinstein and John McCain say the film got it seriously wrong when it showed suspects giving up information under torture. I'm Neil Conan, Zero Dark Thirty, Osama bin Laden, and the new debate on torture. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation this afternoon at 1 on KUAF 91.3 FM.
This is Ozarks at Large. A big part of Valentine's Day is letting a person know they're loved. A Little Rock Hospital is giving people the opportunity to let its young patients know someone out there cares for them through the gift of a Valentine's Day card. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda has more.
At some point during elementary school, you probably participated in a Valentine's Day party. You may have decorated the classroom with handmade pink hearts, tasted some chocolate candy, or even passed out Valentine cards containing affectionate phrases to your classmates. Unfortunately, some kids won't have the opportunity to participate in similar festivities this year because they have to spend time in the hospital. To help patients celebrate the day despite their medical situation, Arkansas Children's Hospital has created a website where anyone can create Valentine cards to send to the hospital's young patients. Elizabeth Henry, Community Development Coordinator at the Arkansas Children's Hospital Foundation, says she thinks one reason people have enjoyed participating in this new program is because it's a way to make a child smile, even if you don't know them.
We all know what it's like to be feeling under the weather. We all know what it's like to celebrate a holiday, and so this is a fun way to help kids celebrate. And I also think, you know, I sometimes hear all the stories that people have of an experience at Arkansas Children's Hospital, and it's amazing to me how many people across the state have said, oh my gosh, I was a patient there when I was a child, or my nephew is a patient there, my kid, you know, my neighbor down the street. And so both for people who have had experiences at Arkansas Children's Hospital and people who haven't, it's a way to just bring a smile to a kid's face. It takes a few minutes and really brightens a kid's day and you know, helps you celebrate the holiday too.
Once you log on to the website, the first step is to select one of three designs for your Valentine. You can choose a card with a red rocket ship that says, Valentine, you're out of this world, a pink bee that says, Be my Valentine, or a yellow and orange lion that says, Valentine, I'm wild about you. You may then personalize the card with a message. Composing a note that's upbeat and focuses on Valentine's Day is preferable to a health-related sentiment.
We want to be sensitive of kids with all different kinds of medical conditions. So some of those kids are in for a procedure and they might be going home tomorrow, and some of the kids have a longer stay. And so we want to make sure that we're sensitive of each child's medical condition. And, you know, we want to provide kids a distraction and help them think about all the things that they get to be, you know, that will, they get to think about things besides just being sick. So what I like to say is thinking of you, lots of knock-knock jokes. One of my favorites, one of the designs is a honeybee. And one of the favorite ones that I've seen so far is people saying, why do bees always have sticky hair? Because they use a honeycomb. And so just fun, kid-friendly jokes that, you know, will bring a smile to a kid's face is really what we encourage.
Although the program is in its first year, Elizabeth says they have received tens of thousands of messages from around the country.
Right now, we have about 260 kids in the hospital, and so there will be enough for kids to have lots and lots and lots. The response has been so overwhelming. We're up to, I think, 30,000 Valentines for kids. So the people of Arkansas have been so generous, and from all over the country. We've had Valentines from California and Florida and Maine and Nebraska and really all over, people just wanting to participate. It's been great.
Some of the messages have even been sent by former patients.
There have been some really sweet ones. One was from a little boy named Anthony, who used to be a patient here, and he picked the design that looks like a honeybee and said, "If you know, be sweet to your nurses, they'll be sweet to you. I was a patient here. I know just what it's like." And so they've been really, really touching messages. People have written poems and Dr. Seuss quotes and things that just really brighten your day. And so we're including some of those on the Valentines for the kids.
Elizabeth says some of the Valentines have already been printed out, and the plan is to deliver them to patients on their meal trays. Some will even be passed out during a Valentine's party for children that are well enough to attend. Although it is Valentine's Day, Elizabeth admits at least one patient received her cards prior to today.
We actually delivered some early to a little girl named Lexi, and she is 4.5, and she loved the pink honeybee. She picked them all. She got a big stack of Valentines, and she made sure to pick all the honeybees out and just say, she called them bug, and she said, bug, 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 I love the bugs. And so it was so fun to see her face and see her face light up as we walked into the room, and I know that's the experience that the rest of the patients are going to get.
Elizabeth says people have been so generous and responsive that they are looking into repeating this program next year and maybe expanding it to other holidays. If you would like to send a patient a Valentine today, you can do so at giving.archildrens.org/Valentine. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
It is Thursday, February 14th, Valentine's Day. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
With us, Becca Martin Brown. She's features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
And again, it's not too late.
No, it's never too late on
Don't
Valentine's
mess
Day.
This up. Right. Here's some options. An evening of art, wine, and live music at 6 and 8 at 11, the restaurant at Crystal Bridges Museum in Bentonville.
6 and 8 are the times, 11 the restaurant.
Correct.
So don't go there at 11 thinking there's going to be
over.
A late show.
It'll be closed. Yes. 6 and 8 are the time. Good call. Included in the dinner are four courses, including Maine lobster claw.
Ooh, this sounds really good.
Doesn't it? I'm starving.
Give a shout out to a certain somebody.
Yeah. It's $110 a couple, but you get four courses, or $140 a couple, and you get wine with each of the four courses. Go to it. Tonight is the first night of a two-night show called Bedtime Tales by a local troupe called Blossoms Burlesque. This happens at Teatro Scarpino in Fayetteville. The evening includes grown-up retellings of classic bedtime stories, dance, live music, poetry, fire hooping, comedy, $25 general seating or $30 for VIP seating. And there are two shows, both today and tomorrow, 7 and 10. For reservations, call 966-7363.
Okay.
Or at Smoke and Barrel in Fayetteville tonight, there will be a Sadie Hawkins dance.
Oh, Sadie Hawkins made popular by which comic strip?
Dog Patch.
Little Abner. Yeah, huh? Little Abner.
I knew it had to do with Dog Patch. But this is where the girl asks the guy.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And there will be music by country folk performer Carter Sampson. Tickets are $3 for ladies and free for their guests.
Carter Sampson. Her CD was on my top 10 of the year.
There you go.
Yeah.
So if you haven't done something, here you go.
Very good.
You could probably do all three. Thanks, Becca.
Thanks, Becca.
Becca Martin Brown is features editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
And continuing with our Valentine's Day theme on this Valentine's Day, we had a singing Valentine of our own come to the station.
We did. It was fun. A barbershop quartet came in, Melody Lane.
Yes.
Yesterday afternoon.
Four men who live in Bella Vista.
Mm-hmm.
And they're spending much of today going around delivering singing Valentines. But before that, they came to our studio. They are Rod Martin, Gene Ganusi, Bryce Hopkins, and Ron Heineman, and they were inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio yesterday.
They each told us how they got involved in barbershop, and many of them started when they were young, in high school.
Or even younger. One gentleman started at 8. But Rod Martin, who's originally from Hutchinson, Kansas, didn't start as early as the others.
As opposed to these guys who started when they're young, and I wish I had. My dad was the first director of the Hutchinson Salt Miners Chorus for a few years and was a music teacher for a while. And so I heard those chords early on. I was like 5, I think. But quit singing altogether after college for at least 10 years and then kind of got into the church choir and that kind of thing. Knew something was missing. We moved to Northwest Arkansas in 1999. And I happened to go in the Jones Center to pick up my kids one afternoon, and I heard the last chord of a barbershop song, and I had to hunt them down. So I've been singing since then, since about 2000.
All right, guys, how about a song?
Sure. Sure.
You're all the world to me, my love. You make everything so fine. Oh, you make my dreams reality, and with you, life is divine. It's so divine. Say it's only a paper moon, sailing over a cardboard sea. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me.
Bum, 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 yeah.
Yes, it's only a canvas sky, hanging over a Muslim tree. But it wouldn't be make-believe without your love. It's a honky-tonk parade without your love. It's a melody played in a penny arcade. It's a Barnum and Bailey world, just as phony as it can be. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Without your love, it's a 10-1-7 day. Without your love, it's a symphony played, but it's just a charade. It's a Barnum and Bailey world, just as phony as it can be. But it wouldn't be make-believe if I had all your love. It's not make-believe, I've got all your love, all your love.
Wow.
Yes, that's wow. Great. Quite the ending. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Made me think of the Mills Brothers.
Right.
You know? I'm a big fan of them.
Well, so it's Valentine's Day, and you're going around singing. And I'm kind of curious as to where are the most interesting places that you've been called on to go to, just in your experience?
Well, I guess probably the most fun that we've had and the most embarrassing moment that we could have caused happened a couple of years ago when Mrs. Van Horn happened to call upon us to do a singing Valentine for her husband, Coach Van Horn, of the university baseball team. And she arranged it in such a fashion that they had a press conference going on. Now, all the news reporters were there with their cameras rolling, and they were aware of the fact that we were coming in. However, he was not. He was sitting behind his desk, and we walked in, and he got this real blank look on his face. And we presented him with a Valentine card and a rose, and we started to sing. At that point, Mr. Van Horn started to kind of slide down in his chair and underneath his desk. And by the time we were through, his face was about as red as the hat he was wearing. And I don't believe we'll be invited back there again.
Well, but you just delivered what Mrs. Van Horn wanted you to do, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We followed orders.
Do the people who hire you ask you, do they suggest a song or do you select one?
Basically, we have a repertoire that of arrangements that we do, and quite frequently we do not have the song that they particularly would like. So we have to kind of roll with the punches there. And we also have what we call some tags, which are actually the endings of songs, but they're gangbuster-type endings most generally. And so we use those on occasion as well.
Meaning you just sort of do a medley of...
Well, it's not really a medley as such. It's just occasionally we have one that we will pull out of the hat and do. If you like, we could do one right now.
Yeah.
My love.
Pretty, very pretty. Do you get hired beyond Valentine's Day? I mean,
oh, absolutely, absolutely. We are basically available about 8.5 months out of the year. We have a snowbird here that likes to spend his winters in Florida. As a matter of fact, we flew him back.
Ask, but it's February,
yes. And he will be leaving us again on Friday to get some more sun and fun. And a little golf, you know how it is. Mm-hmm. But he's going to rejoin us once again, coming to middle part of March or toward the end of March. But, yes, we're available. And for other purposes,
We got a repertoire of close to 40 songs, so we can, depending upon the situation, whether it be, well, we can change our
birthday or
whatever, sure. Yeah. Anniversaries, whatever.
Well, do you mind one more number
sure.
before you go?
Everyone dreams of a storybook romance with ringing bells the moment they fall. This kind of love leaves too much to chance. My romance is different from them all. My romance doesn't have to have a moon in the sky. My romance doesn't need a blue lagoon standing by. No month of May, no twinkling stars, no hideaway, no soft guitar. My romance doesn't need a castle rising in Spain, nor a dance to a constantly surprising refrain. Wide awake, I can make my most fantastic dreams come true.
Yeah, it was great. It reminds me of my granddad.
Ah.
It does. Nostalgic.
Rod, Gene, Ron, Bryce, thank you all very much.
Thank you for having
us
come in.
It's been our pleasure.
It's been our pleasure. You bet.
The four men of Melody Lane, Rod Martin, Gene Ganusi, Bryce Hopkins, and Ron Heineman came to the Furman Garner Performance Studio yesterday from Bella Vista.
Hi, I'm Ophira Eisenberg, host of Ask Me Another, NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. Are you one of those readers who can always find the grammatical error? Well, then this week's game, Spot the Mistake, has yous written all over it. And our mystery guest explains why every month should be Black History Month. Coming up on NPR's Ask Me Another.
Ask Me Another, every Saturday morning at 11 on KUAF 91.3 FM. KUAF is supported by the Center for Arkansas and Regional Studies at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, dedicated to the celebration and documentation of this region's history and culture.
This day, Valentine's Day, is a holiday that embraces attraction and love, but often in the pop culture form of a song, chocolates, or a Hallmark card. The new book, Love 2.0, by Barbara Fredrickson, considers love on a much deeper level. Ozarks at Largest Katie Hendrickson has this review.
Author and emotional scientist Barbara L. Fredrickson wants us to forget about the love we typically hear on the radio, the one that's centered on desire and yearns for touch from a new squeeze. She describes that definition of love, that one of exclusivity, as a collective failure of imagination in her new book, Love 2.0, How Our Supreme Emotion Affects Everything We Feel, Think, Do and Become. Now, an Atlantic Monthly Review headline says, "There's no such thing as everlasting love. parentheses, according to science. But rather than being sensational or a total downer, Fredrickson makes the case that cultivating connectivity in all your daily interactions makes love non-exclusive, forever renewable, with physical and mental benefits for us all. Love, as she defines it, is a micro moment of positivity resonance. Seconds of connection between two or more people that actually physically enhance the body and soul. The problem, she states, is that all too often you simply don't take the time that's needed to truly connect with others. To the contrary, contemporary society, with its fast-changing technology and oppressive workloads, baits you to speed through your day at a pace that's completely antithetical to connection. She states that loneliness is physical, and in our culture of isolation, her theory on love is a practical way to make it abound for everyone. She argues that love is as vital as a nutrient to us as soil, water, and sunlight are for plants. Now, Fredrickson is not simply a self-help guru trying to cash in on our longing for love. She is the Keenan Distinguished Professor of Psychology and Director of Positive Emotions and Psychology Laboratory at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. She's presented her findings twice to the Dalai Lama. The book is broken down into two parts and is so well written, it's hard not to simply quote extensively from the text. In the first, she describes her definition of love and the biology behind it. And in the second, she talks about practical ways you can build your own moments of positivity resonance through meditation practices such as loving kindness meditation. That relies heavily on Buddhism, which holds kindness as one of the four noblest modes of consciousness. Far from being touchy-feely, she breaks down the science of love in Chapter 3, Love's Biology, which opens with an epigraph from Emily Dickinson. The soul must always stand ajar, ready to welcome the ecstatic experience. Rather than alienating readers with scientific jargon, she breaks down the working of the so-called cuddle or love hormone, oxytocin, in simple terms. It's long known to play a key role in social bonding and attachment, and is shown to dramatically make people more trusting, and is a key player in the calm and connect response. This neuropeptide is produced in more abundance when you have moments of positivity resonance, or put more simply, when you share a connection and feel in sync with another human being. She then goes on to discuss the role of the 10th cranial nerve, the key conduit that connects brain to body, known as the vagus nerve, which supports and coordinates experiences of love. Scientists can measure vagus tone to see your biological aptitude for love by tracking heart rate in conjunction to breathing rate. Scientific studies have shown those with higher vagal tone are more flexible, healthier, more mentally adept, and have better skills in sociability. That high vagal tone is taken as a high loving potential. While quoting amply from scientific studies, she doesn't alienate. And she's not about quick fixes or any surface fake positivity, which she explains can actually hinder true growth. That fakeness is not a cultivation of compassion, which she believes is love. She goes on to describe a tapestry in which we have love and good fortune interwoven among darker threads of pain, sorrow, and loss. And it is that compassion that she hopes to build. In 195 pages, Fredrickson sells me on this radical reinvention of love and makes the case as to why practicing more connection, those micro moments of positivity resonance between two or more people, will benefit individuals and society greatly. In a time of isolation, stress, and loneliness, Fredrickson's argument is urgent. And rather than depressing, Love 2.0 shows simply and how, without spending any money, we can upgrade our daily interactions to improve mind, body, and spirit. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Katie Henriksen.
This is Ozarks at Large for February 14th, 2013. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
With us is Jody Beznosko, who is Vice President of Communications at Walton Arts Center.
Hello.
Hello.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yes. And to you.
I have
you
lots
too.
Of good Valentine's Day gifts for people.
Do you?
If you've left it to the last minute, I can help.
You're here to rescue.
Yes, I okay. can help for sure. For this weekend, immediate gift needs. We have Potted Potter from the 16th through the 17th. That's four performances. Tickets are selling like hotcakes for that, but we have opened up some extra seats, so we do still have some left.
Opened extra seats.
Yeah, is that in the main theater?
It is in the main theater, but we've only been selling the floor.
I see.
Because this is a very special production. They want it to be more intimate.
Yeah. Obviously, yes.
But also, when it gets really popular, they'll put people up in the balcony. So.
Okay. For some reason, I saw a picture of these guys, and I was surprised at how young they were.
Yeah, they are.
I thought I was picturing older.
No, I mean, sounds like the story of them is that they, are just a couple of theater guys who decided they wanted to do this. And yeah, they are really young, which is neat for them to be touring and coming over to the U.S. It's pretty cool. So that is Saturday and Sunday. Two shows on Saturday, two shows on Sunday. The best ticket availability is for the Sunday 7:30 performance.
Okay.
So if you want really good seats, you should go to that one. So that is this weekend. At the same time this weekend, we will also be having the Grace Kelly Quintet.
Right.
I heard her last on Ozark yesterday, actually.
Yeah, talking to Robert Ginsberg.
She sounded really interesting.
And grounded for...
For being that young.
Yeah, and that talented.
She said something really great. She said, I really want it to be that I am the worst player in any band that I play in.
Yeah.
And she's this prodigy, amazing person, and she's got all these great players around her. So that's in Star Theater on the 16th. That's Saturday. Two performances of that. Tickets are going fast for that. I think that one will sell out. So if you're a last-minute person for that, you might want to not be a last-minute person and get your tickets early. So that's just this weekend. Bunch of stuff going on this weekend. Then we'll have The Little Prince on the 19th of February. That's a great show for little kids. And then next weekend, we will have Hair. Three performances of Hair, 22nd through the 23rd. This is the Broadway touring version of the revival show that went up in New York a couple years ago.
Right.
Fantastic. Really good production.
So much fun.
Oh, so much fun.
Age of Aquarius.
Yes. Exactly. And then looking into March, we haven't had a 10 by 10 in a while, have we?
No, you have not,
no.
Well, says the subscriber.
I know. Well, we have one on March 1st, Dance Brazil. Mm-hmm. Going to be really fun, really high energy. Obviously, a dance company from Brazil, and I'm sure we'll talk more about them over time. On the 2nd, we will have Mary Chapin Carpenter and Sean Colvin playing together. Pretty excited for that. I learned the other day that it's an acoustic night.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's just them. Like their setup is really simple. It's a couple of stools and a bunch of guitar stands. So it'll be
March
fun.
2nd is
it's a Saturday. We will have Sona. We'll be doing their third Masterworks concert of the year on March 9th. We will have James Galway,
yes.
The man with the golden flute, one of the rock stars, I would say the sort of royalty of flute playing, kind
of
like Yo-Yo Ma.
Flute.
Yeah, if there is one, right?
I mean, if you asked people in the Western part of the world to name a living flutist, I think you would either Ian Anderson from Jethro Tull or Sir James Galway.
Or Sir James Galway.
I mean, name a third.
I don't know. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got me.
So, I mean, when we booked him, we were thinking, okay, we've had Yo-Yo Ma, we've had Itzhak Perlman, we've had some really great opera singers. Who's the next in our sort of classical lineup of big musicians? And so Sir James and his wife will be playing March 14th. And then the day later, we will change completely and we will have One Night of Queen, a tribute band whom we've had before. And they are a riot. They put on an incredible show. And then Garrison Keillor will be at the end of March.
Yes.
Tickets going quickly for them. His show is going to be a musical evening. He's bringing a lot of musical guests with him. So that is a lot of fun. And then let's look ahead just to a couple of shows in April. I really want everybody to get Anything Goes on their calendar. It is glorious. So much fun. April 9th through the 14th. And then even thinking ahead to Warhorse in May, May 22nd through the 26th. Anybody who came to Memphis and really loved it last week, one of the producers of Memphis was from Arkansas. His name is Rem Dickinson, and he was here with us for a couple of days, and he's also a producer on Warhorse. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so it gives you a kind of an idea of the kind of impact the different projects could have. And I also didn't want to leave out that Theater Squared opens their show tonight.
Okay, so tonight is considered the
opening? I think it's the preview night.
It's the preview night.
Yep.
You can pay to see it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep, and then tomorrow night is official opening night.
Yeah.
But that's Sons of the Prophet, and that runs for 3 weeks. And I'm hearing great things about it. I'm hearing that it's really funny.
It is.
It's really well done. And it's really cool that we've got this, that they got this play, because it literally was just in New York like 2 or 3 years ago as a new Broadway show.
And in fact, the night, this weekend, it's opening off-Broadway for the first time since it was on Broadway in two places, Richmond, Virginia and Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Oh, wow.
Two companies.
Both this weekend,
opening the same night.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really neat. It's really fun how we've gotten to see some of these plays fresh out of New York with Theater Squared. It's really great. So that's your preview night tonight and opening night tomorrow night. And,
Jeanette Erickson, Lori Bell, William Bennett, Julius Baker.
Flautist. Flutist.
Yeah, according to flutecorner.com, those are some other of the most famous flutists in the world.
Well, the only one I have ever heard of is James Galway.
Okay.
And you want to know the reason how I know him? I got familiar with his music when I was listening to the soundtrack to The Lord of the Rings, of all things.
Yeah.
He plays in that. And I remember going, who is that? What is that flute happening there? And that was him.
And the reason we say Sir James Galway is because he's honest to goodness knight.
He's been knighted.
Was knighted in 2001.
That's very cool.
What if people want to find out more about what we've talked about?
Well, they can go to waltonartcenter.org, or they can call us at 443-5600. Or if you're in Fayetteville, you can come down and visit us at the box office. Our parking is free until 2 o'clock in the lot across the street and on the street. And then we have a free gallery exhibition open. So you could stop by and grab lunch on Dixon Street, come see some art, and come buy some tickets.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, Jody.
Thank you.
Jody Beznoska is Vice President of Communications at Walton Art Center.
One way to judge the respect a songwriter has is to see how many states have a claim on him or her. Both Oklahoma and Texas claim Steve Fisher. He was born in Tulsa but grew up in the Lone Star State. And it's understandable why each of the states would want to say he's their own. He's one of the finest songwriters out there anywhere. This week he was in Fayetteville, and during his time here he sang inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio for this week's edition of The Pick and Post with Mike Shirky. While you can hear the entire conversation and all of the songs he performed on the Pick and Post Saturday night beginning at 7, here's a Valentine's Day present for you, a brand new Steve Fisher song, recorded Tuesday at KUAF when that song was about 10 days old.
I've been building a wall all of my life, like somehow this prison could become paradise. With all of my prejudice and pride, I've been building a wall round my life. There's a place in my heart now where you burn through, like all my defenses, they meant nothing to you. With your light and your heat and the sword of truth, a place in my heart where you burn through. In this room, a prison cell, where your song rings truer than some mission bell. And in the name of love is the only story to tell. Maybe someday I, too, will tell it well. There's a house where love lives, and I know what street it's on. I look through the window there, never call it home. Put me to work in the garden or out on the lawn. A house where love lives, it'll live from now. Thank you. help me up from my knees. Well, I'll find my voice again inside a hollow reed. And when the long day is done and I'm set free, maybe I'll just be the song you taught me to sing. There's a place in my heart where you burn through. Like all my defenses, they meant nothing to you. With your light and your heat and the sword of truth, there's a place in my heart where you burn through.
Steve Fisher recorded that song as part of a session for the Pick and Post with Mike Shirkey. That is, we think, the first time the song was performed for an audience. You'll be able to hear the conversation and more new songs on this week's Pick and Post. It begins 7 Saturday evening on KUAF 91.3 FM.
And Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. Support for KUAF comes from 2 Enjoy Magazine, a local publication featuring the arts, culture, and entertainment. The February edition showcases comprehensive health and wellness. Subscriptions and more information available at 464-8900 or numeral 2enjoymag.com.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, and Elkins.
Elkins. You know, it would be nice if romance was in our listening area.
It would.
Because that would be perfect for the day.
Well, I almost said sweet, you know, home sweet home of Fayetteville, but,
oh,
you know.
Well, not everyone's home sweet home is Fayetteville,
no.
Is it? Let me ask you something. You know, much of our show today was Valentine's Day related. The Arkansas Children's Hospital story, our Singing Valentine Quartet, Katie's
book
review. Right. I often wonder if, you know, because not everyone has a favorable opinion of Valentine's Day. So, you know, you don't want to overdo it. Did we overdo it?
I don't know. I hope not. I hope not. I mean, even if you don't necessarily celebrate, it's still you know, love. Surely you love somebody, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Or somebody loves you.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Tomorrow, Antoinette Grajeda will be with me. We'll have a brand new edition of Ozarks at Large. You and I back together on Sunday for weekend Ozarks at Large. It's the on that morning, you're talking to someone about Pluto.
I am talking about Pluto. February 18th is the day that Pluto was discovered in 1930, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it's no longer considered a planet.
Right.
So we discussed that a little bit.
Conversation about that and more. Any plans for the weekend?
Not really, actually. Hopefully, I don't know if it's going to be nice weather or not. I like to get outside and run, but I mean,
lows in the tomorrow night, Friday night, lows around 22 in Northwest Arkansas, 28. Could be chilly for baseball. This is, of course, the opening weekend for Arkansas Razorback baseball.
Oh.
At Baum Stadium, Western Illinois comes into town. Razorbacks begin the season in most polls ranked number one. First pitch, 3:05 Friday. Saturday, a 12:05 first pitch, and then Sunday afternoon as well. I think that's just after 1 o'clock.
All right.
So I'll be at the ballpark. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
Thanks so much for listening.
And happy Thursday.